Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate show times, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is Cradleboard, responding to our own talents and abilities. First, some housekeeping details. This show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday and Tuesday, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive, as well as on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, and you can contact me via email at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 radio network has over 1.3 million listeners in more than 135 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time, so I invite you to have a listen. Our last show was called Great Mystery, Accepting the Role of Co-Creator. And in that show, I spent some time unpacking the notion of great mystery as the symbol for all creation. It's known as original source, and it lives in everything. It is everything, and it encompasses everything. It even encompasses each of us. As the creator of all life, and as such, we are created in its likeness. So we really dove into the idea of looking at ourselves as co-creators with great mystery and accepting that role and how it helps us to move beyond any self-imposed limitations. So you can find that show, Great Mystery, in the archives at dreamvision7radio.com. But tonight our topic is Cradleboard, responding to our own talents and abilities. So what exactly is a cradleboard? Well, basically, it was the infant carrier that was used in nearly every Native American tribe. It was basically comprised of a wooden frame that would support the body of an infant or child. Inside it, it was lined with fur and cushioned with diapering material. Often, sage and mullein would be the material inside. It was then often covered in deer hide. It would be laced up, and it would have like a bonnet or little hood at the top that would shade a baby's eyes from strong light and also protect the baby when it was raining. So basically, no matter what happens to the infant in a cradleboard, the board has the ability to respond and meet all the needs that the baby has. I think that notion of ability to respond is a great way to think about responsibility. It's much more proactive, the ability to respond, much more empowering. I can do something about this, right? Versus that notion of I'm responsible, which has a much heavier quality to it. You know, I'm obligated. I've got to do this. Like the have to versus the I get to notion of having the ability to respond versus being responsible. And that sort of notion of I'm responsible, in a way, really doesn't speak necessarily to one's talent or ability. It's sort of something that's thrust onto you, perhaps, versus because of the ways I'm capable and the strengths and gifts I have, I am the person most suited for this particular role that I'm responding to. So it's a very different way of looking at this notion of responsibility. Jamie Sams, in the Native American Sacred Path Cards book and workbook, talks about cradleboard symbology and what it means to take responsibility for what she calls the three fates, past, present, and future. To respond to the past, we honor the traditions. To respond to the present is to seek beauty, to use our gifts, talents, and abilities for the greatest good of all, and to stay in gratitude through those processes. And then to take responsibility, or to have the ability to respond to the fate that is future, it means being the keeper of tomorrow's cradle board and looking at ways that we can preserve the Earth Mother for future generations. When you look at the divinatory meaning of the cradle board card in the Sacred Path deck, it talks a lot about carrying your future on your back, like in the present moment, looking at how to influence your future in the now. And in order to do that, you need to respond. You have the ability to respond, according to the card, especially when it is showing up in your life. And it reminds me of prophecies that will say, you know, now is the time, you know, we are the ones we have been waiting for. And I think that is something that is difficult for many of us to really fully embrace, that, you know, we're all looking to other to solve the problems, or many of us are at least. I know sometimes I am, when actually we need to be the ones showing up to affect change. We need to be responding to our own talents and abilities and out of our own talents and abilities. We need to look at how we use our personal medicine, because it's different for each of us, to respond to different situations, and how, by doing so, we're able to grow. It makes me think a little bit about sort of the other end of the spectrum of having the ability to respond, which is around apathy and really holding an apathetic position and perspective in life. And I think that I'm especially reminded of this given sort of the context that we're in politically, since this is an election year. I'm not going to go into having political opinions, but it's really remarkable for me to see the way that people have been coming forward, have been moving out of a sense of apathy or a sense of, oh, there's really nothing we can do to affect change, regardless of how you hold different political positions. I would say that it's true of probably both camps currently. And that alone is very inspiring to me, that people are stepping up and responding in what is not a passive approach. I think in our personal lives, too, we sometimes bring a lot of apathy, maybe because we're worn down or we feel like things never work out. But I think sometimes how we interpret our environment, our talents, maybe as if they weren't talents at all, I think that's a common notion. A lot of times the things that we're best at come so easily for us that we don't really see them as strengths or something special. But boy, if you can't do the thing, and someone else, you know, and you know that, and you see someone else who can do it, whether it's singing or having particular athletic ability or mathematical ability, whatever it is, it may be something that's really easy for you to do, and so you're not seeing it as a talent. For myself, I often take way too long to make a change that I know I need to make, and it's often born of my not having enough faith in my own talents and abilities, and not really responding out of that, but instead responding out of fear. And so that was something that came up this week for me, that a shift happened a little bit more unexpectedly than I had anticipated, and it's a shift that I've known for a while now that I've needed to make. I also realize when I don't make these changes in a more timely way, I end up paying for it on an emotional level in a way that really isn't necessary. So I'm looking at ways that I can shift that in my own life. There's a Ram Dass quote that goes, "It is important to expect nothing, to take every experience, including the negative ones, as merely steps on the path and to proceed." And so that's what I'm doing this week and will continue to do, just really kind of as much as possible, take my ability to respond out of my own talents and abilities and use them even in the face of negative experiences. I think another example that rises up when we are in conflict with our talents and abilities is around worthiness. You're not believing consistently enough in our strengths, not feeling like we have enough worth to experience the benefit of putting our talents and abilities to work. I think that's something that a lot of us can relate to. You know, where we maybe will lead with the critical self or the lower vibration little self rather than the self that really is in co-creative partnership with spirit, that is moving in the flow of the river, rather than clinging so tightly to the shore and being dashed against the rocks simply because we won't let go. Ram Dass shows up again to give us a little bit of perspective, and that is, quote, "Your problem is you're too busy holding on to your unworthiness." And that really resonated with me tonight as I was preparing for the show. I think that that is awfully true. We focus on unworthiness rather than focusing on all of the things that make us so worthy. Just the fact that we exist being the primary indicator of worthiness. And then another example, when we let other people define us, right? It's difficult to respond to our own talents and abilities if we are determining what's true by how we perceive other people think about us or what we know that they think about us, and we really let their definition be our guiding force. And so I like to remind myself and all of us that just because someone says or believes something about you or about me, it doesn't make it true. And to not hold fast to that belief forces us to give over our power. There's a great quote by Georgia O'Keeffe that I've mentioned other shows that, quote, "I decided to accept as true my own thinking." I decided to accept as true my own thinking. When I first read that, I had this major epiphany of, for my own life, how I would always be looking outside of myself to understand what was true. Whether it was calling my parents about something or my partner or a best friend or teacher or what could I find in a book or on the internet to tell me what's true. And then I saw this quote and I said, you know what? I think there are many times, if not most times, when I get to decide what's true for me, my own thinking, based on my own experiences and my own well of information, can be what directs me. Not always easy, but if you can be in that space, life moves forward in a much less effortful way. You know, I was in my women's circle this week, and we always have a check-in. It's one of the things I most look forward to every month, where I really get to sit and see where I am. And I'm in this space of not being able to decide, and see if you relate to this at all, whether everything in my life is just going really great. I'm learning so much. You know, work is really rich. My relationships are very satisfying. My partnership is awesome. I love my dogs. It's spring. The garden's coming up. Everything's awesome. To the flip side, oh my gosh, everything is horrible. Everything's hard right now. Why does everything have to be so hard? Oh, there's so much to do. I'm never going to finish. Oh, the dog needs a bath, and the other one needs to be groomed, and the house is a mess, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm sitting in both of those, not even in the middle of that continuum, but really simultaneously believing both of those things, more of a both and, rather than even sort of an average of the two. So I shared about that, and I feel like in trying to process all this for the show tonight, I'm trying to think, well, how can I take the cradle board symbology where, you know, I can embrace that spirit's meeting all of my needs and also that I'm able to respond to what's happening around me, able to influence things, and just trying to make sense of it. And then also creating enough stillness to be able to really sort through how I'm feeling and how, you know, what shifts can I make as I move forward. The other thing that I feel really influences this is the notion of mortality and sort of wondering about how much should that notion, that no one gets out alive, I've talked about this before too, how much of that notion should really be present to us as sort of a guidepost for how we decide to live our lives, right? To use our talents and abilities to contribute in some way, or even just to experience joy as much as possible, you know, while we still can. I find that to be something that moves me, that creates a sense of urgency in me. I don't think it makes me morbid. I think it makes me appreciative of the time that I have and what, how do I want to be spending it? And is not knowing sort of how we want to proceed, or not knowing or being present to our mortality, this a barrier to our ability to respond out of our own talents? My last quote from Ram Dass tonight speaks to sort of this example of being in the both and it is, quote, "You can be still and still moving, content even in your discontent." And I thought, geez, that perfectly captures the space that I feel myself in. And also, too, with this notion of cradle board and really getting into a place of trust, I had the great pleasure of teaching yesterday an all-day workshop on the medicine bowl, and wasn't sure as of Friday night what exactly was going to be on the agenda, but trusting, as I typically do, that it will unfold the way it should. And it sincerely did, even with some challenges of, for instance, not being able to find all of the wooden bowls that I had purchased for participants until the 11th hour, and not even entirely being sure how you actually use a medicine bowl in a healing practice, what are the various ways. Yet as the night sort of unfolded and I set to preparing, everything really did fall into place. And it was kind of a funny night because I was preparing, reading through Jamie Sams's materials and trying to tease out the themes that I wanted to focus on with this particular group. And she talks about when you are going to use a medicine bowl, it's really important that it be a blackened one, that the bottom of the wooden bowl be blackened with charcoal and beeswax. So I'm like, okay, is that what I'm going to do, or am I just going to share with the group that that's one way a medicine bowl is used? So then I'm reading some more and, you know, sorting things out, and I see yet another reference to, well, if this is where you are in your life, then maybe you need to do a medicine bowl ceremony using the blackened medicine bowl that's described on page such and such. And I'm like, okay, the second time it comes up, I guess we're making these blackened medicine bowls. So then I'm like, okay. Like, she lays out a whole list of about 6 or 7 things you need to have. This charcoal, the beeswax, then you need to have tobacco and a little bit of soil and a kernel of corn and all of these things. I'm like, okay, how can I pull all this together? But I was able to, and we did proceed with the day, trusting, really, in cradleboard fashion, that we would figure it out. Because even though I was told, yes, you need beeswax and charcoal, I had no conception of how you would actually apply the beeswax and charcoal to make your bowl blackened. So I just use that as an example of, you know, what happens when you really can move away from fear and uncertainty and know that the cradle board really is going to be supporting all your needs. So it looks like we are bumping up against the break. When we come back, we will continue with this theme. In the meantime, I will let Peter take us to break. Talk to you in a few.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all 4 levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's G-N-O-M-E, stedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is Cradleboard, responding to our own talents and abilities. Before the break, I took listeners through a range of examples of how sometimes we get in our own way when it comes to believing in our own ability to respond to different aspects of our life and the different changes that we want to make. And now I wanted to shift us a little bit to think about our own talents and abilities when it comes to being able to heal from disease on the physical level, or even from emotional and spiritual trauma. Today I started reading a book called Medical Medium, and it is by Anthony William, who is a medical medium, and in some ways the only medical medium of his particular kind. And he talked about this struggle that he went through to embrace a connection with this high spirit, as he calls it, who helps him to diagnose and offer healing pathways to people. And I think the ability or the high spirit showed up when he was just 4 years old and stayed with him constantly, really was a persistent presence in his life and would speak in his right ear whenever any other person was around, and would basically diagnose the person, tell Anthony what was wrong with the person and what the person needed to do to be fixed. So you can imagine what that must be like, to constantly have someone, something, in your ear whenever you were around other people. He said it happened to him even if he was in the movies, not only with all the people that were also watching a movie with him, but even those up on the screen. I mean, it really was something an extraordinary gift, an extraordinary talent or ability that he had that also had sort of an incredible price associated with it, right? And so he really rejected it for a very long time, or had, you know, mixed feelings about it. And even this high spirit counseled him to say, you know, if you don't come to terms with this, you will at some point end up taking your own life. So it's actually quite an engaging book. I'm not that far into it, but he talks about the moment when he really did kind of surrender and actually bargained with this high spirit. And it was when his dog actually was on the brink of drowning and he was trying to save it. So I won't be a spoiler and tell you how that goes, but it was sort of this turning point for him. And so then, you know, he embraced it and has really dedicated his life to being able to help people who have, you know, mystery illnesses or diagnoses that really don't, you know, whose treatment doesn't really make them feel any better, or perhaps, you know, idiopathic illnesses or rashes or diseases where, which basically is just a fancy word for saying, you know, we don't know what you have, but here, take this medication to see if it makes you feel any better. And, you know, where people really get to the point where they're debilitated and depressed and despairing and not feeling well chronically. And he kind of maps out in the book that he looks at when he's doing a reading of people, he looks at the soul level and maybe what in the soul needs to be healed. Are there any soul parts that are missing that need to be brought back? He also looks at the level of the spirit and how strong it is, makes a distinction between the soul and the spirit. And then also he looks at the physical plane as well and will help diagnose and provide a path to healing. And I just found this to be pretty fascinating. I'm looking forward to getting back into the book more this week, but he really has been able to take these talents he has, or this ability to communicate with something other, and be in that co-creative partnership to be able to serve the planet and help many, many people. You know, I think it also makes me think about sort of how your soul and your spirit, your emotions impact, your beliefs really impact your and my health. And how many times we can go within to know what's wrong with us. Even when we can't get that external validation, we can't get the diagnosis, we are told, well, maybe, you know, your pain will resolve once, you know, your lawsuit resolves too in your personal injury case. Or maybe this is all in your head, and here, why don't we give you this prescription for antidepressants? You know, which are real experiences that people have. And how do we look at shifting that? There are some interesting lessons about belief and its impact on healing in a book called Meaning and Medicine, Lessons from a Doctor's Tales of Breakthrough and Healing. And it's by Dr. Larry Dossey. He's been for decades looking at the intersection between prayer and belief and the mind's ability to create breakthroughs and healing. And so in this one chapter I was reading tonight, he talked about this experiment that a Harvard professor conducted where he took 13 students who all had colds. I don't know if he gave them colds or recruited people who had colds for this experiment, but he had them all go to a quote-unquote psychic healer. So he, you know, sent them all there, and when they went to see the psychic, there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare, but the psychic said, okay, you know, you're healed, and you're healed, and you're healed, and you're healed, to all 13 of the students in the experiment. And interestingly, 9 out of the 13 got better and even had higher levels of IgA antibody, immunoglobulin A, in their blood, which is an antibody that helps to combat upper respiratory infection. So, you know, he took everyone's blood and had that level of evidence. And so the conclusion that Dr. Dossi took from this experiment, and that I think we can too without too much trouble, is that our beliefs really permeate and can actually change the body. And, you know, these are concrete changes that can actually and easily be measured. Lisa Rankin, in her book Mind Over Medicine, which we talked about a year ago, tells a story about a case that she uncovered from the Institute of Noetic Sciences of this guy who had cancer, was going to die, big tumors, that sort of thing, had treatment, really believed in his doctor and the doctor's sort of treatment plan, and took this chemo, all of his cancer disappeared. Then he was watching television, and the particular chemo drug that he had used was exposed as a fraud. And when he heard that, all of his cancer returned pretty immediately. And he went back to the doctor, and the doctor was thinking, what is going on here? And he had a thought. And what he did was he told this patient that, you know what, I know you saw that, but I've got this new and improved version of that chemo drug. They fixed all the issues with it. I want to give it to you, and you'll see how much you improve. Sure enough, gave him the chemo drug, and his tumors disappeared. Now, that is something that's measurable, and it's something that really dramatically underscores how much our beliefs can change the body. And so this notion of psychic healing is a thing that occurs anytime someone's self-healing capacity is what Dr. Dossi calls potentiated by another. So it's not as if they're claiming that the psychic healer is the one responsible for the healing, but they were able to activate the body's own self-healing and self-repair mechanism. And I think that would hold true for energy healers, too. I think a lot of times, whether you're a Reiki practitioner or you do hypnosis or any kind of energy treatment, you would basically say and come from this perspective of being a facilitator for healing to be potentiated in another. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. I have one other example to share, which I think I'll do after the break, because I see the time is flying by. So I will talk to you in a few. I'll let Peter take us to break. Thanks for listening.
In a single moment, your life can change. Join Marianne Pastana, host of Moments with Marianne, for a transformative hour of leaders in their field, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Tune in to experience Moments with Marianne every second Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Don't miss this. And remember, make every moment count.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Involved in a divorce or custody dispute? Time to finally get your will and health care proxy in place. Need help getting special education services for your child with a disability? For these and other legal issues, the attorneys at Levine Pirro Law can help. We provide all our Massachusetts clients with compassionate, affordable, quality legal representation. Contact us for a free consultation at 978-637-2048. That's 978-637-2048. Or visit Levine Pirro Law.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's gnomestedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, we are in the third segment of our topic Cradle Board, responding to our own talents and abilities. Before the break, I was sharing some examples of how beliefs can actually change the body and our healing capacity. Gave an example around sort of a psychic healing experiment with some students at Harvard who had colds, were able to improve the cold for 9 out of the 13 students that participated in the experiment. Now, some people might say that this is just the power of suggestion and that sort of thing. But there was another example that Dr. Dossi, in his book Meaning and Medicine, shared where this psychic healing, this ability to activate someone's self-healing capacity, took place and bypassed the conscious mind. So you can't just explain it away by the power of suggestion. So pretty interesting, and I'm sure there are lots of different theories, metaphysical theories about how that's possible. There's another experiment that really showed how our experience of the world largely depends on our attitudes about it. And this example was about Michael Harner, who is one of the world's leading teachers of core shamanism, and he was working with a group of students and told them that they were all going to ingest some kind of substance that would allow them to access non-ordinary reality, have them have this really powerful experience. So he gave everyone this substance, which they chewed up and, you know, consumed, and some afterwards reported having an unbelievably ecstatic journey. Others, you know, passed out. Others were, you know, walking around in kind of a drunken stupor. Others reported just pretty powerful experiences and information that they received. And so once it was over, they all wanted to know what this magical substance was. You know, what was the name of this thing that was that allowed them to go into this incredibly altered state and experience such ecstasy? And he reluctantly shared that it was ginger root. Ginger root. So it was not anything that, you know, a lot of us don't have in our bottom drawer in the refrigerator that, quote-unquote, caused this experience. So really, the attitudes that people have, like what they brought to it, the expectations, all of those things is what really contributed to how they were experiencing the world. So I thought that was a pretty powerful example. The other thing I wanted to share about this notion of our ability to respond to what's going on around us, and especially to respond to our own talents and abilities and to bring those forward into the world, it's related to a little bit of what I talked about in the first segment of the show around being aware of your mortality and how you spend your time. And it was a lesson that came to me when I was watching a movie, I think it was on Netflix or something last week, called A Walk in the Woods. And it's based on the travel book by Bill Bryson, where he describes his journey walking the Appalachian Trail, right? That's 22,000 miles, a hike that starts in Georgia and takes many people to Maine, or starts in Maine and takes them down to Georgia. 2,200 miles, that's pretty far. The terrain is very varied. The weather conditions are all over the place. And so I'm watching the movie based on the book. It stars Robert Redford and Nick Nolte, and they are, you know, much older, in their 70s. Robert Redford's character, Bill Bryson, starts to kind of get into a funk or feel kind of an urgency to do something different with his life. He's kind of stuck in a routine. He's, you know, just had attended a funeral of a friend of his. Other people are getting sick around him, so he wants to hike the trail. And his wife says, okay, you can do this, but you can't go alone. So he finally, after much searching, it's actually kind of one of the funnier scenes in the movie, and he gets a call from his friend Steven, someone that he had lost touch with many years ago, had a bit of a falling out with, and that character is played by Nick Nolte. So, you know, the film, I don't think, won any big awards, but what I really liked about it was the way that the two of them came together in relationship, had these conversations, struggled on this trail. They were going to quit, and initially, you know, they carried on, and no, we're going to finish this. And then at a certain point, they realized that it was time to go home. And I thought, that is an incredibly powerful lesson for all those of us who feel like we can't ever quit anything, that we've got to finish what we've started, that we, you know, even when things really no longer work for us, we're still, you know, plugging away because it's, you know, the right thing to do. And I think, is it the right thing to do? Many times I think it's not. Like, once we're out of alignment, once we're sort of in a space of not doing the right things, right? Not bringing our own talents and abilities to bear on the ways we're meant to serve, you know, we really should be making a shift. And so it was kind of anticlimactic, especially if you contrast it with, say, Wild, that book that was made into a movie written by Cheryl Strayed, where Reese Witherspoon plays Cheryl and, you know, finishes the Pacific Coast Trail or something to that effect. And the internal healing that takes place for her as she hikes, you know, these hundreds of miles. And she finished it, and by golly, that was so important. And, you know, in that particular circumstance, it worked great. But I loved the fact that in A Walk in the Woods, when it was done, it was done. And it was okay to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. It's not feeling good. I've learned what I need to learn, or the reasons I came out here to do this thing have been satisfied. And so it's okay to change course. Pretty powerful to me. And it kind of reminds me of this funny thing. When I was a kid, my younger sister was reading Charlotte's Web. And now we all know the story of Charlotte's Web, right? We've watched the movie a million times. So she's reading the book, and she decided that she was done with it. And I look at the book. She has like 3 pages left to go. And I'm like, you know, Kelly, you need to finish this. What? And she's like, nah, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm like, what do you mean you're done with it? And I was so upset with her for not bringing, you know, the book to completion, that it actually kind of became a joke in our family all these years later. But on the other hand, it's like, wow, okay, she was done, and she moved on, and it was no big deal. And, you know, you don't have to always check everything off as complete. So anyway, offer that for your consideration tonight, to look at the things that are going on in your life, the things you've committed to, and really look at them through this filter of your ability to respond. Is it the same as it once was? Is there someone else who maybe has a greater ability to respond in these particular circumstances? I think that really matters, especially given that we all have the work that we're meant to do, and we all have to do it in what is really a finite amount of time. And so I think these are great ways for us to remove some of the busyness of our lives, right? Remove those distractions. We are the ones we've been waiting for. I think there are so many millions of gifted and highly talented people. And I think that their achievements and service would really mean so much to so many people. And that these same millions of people, myself included, we go on striving and straining and resisting and hanging on to the side of the river rather than letting go and being in the flow. You know, we're waiting for the conditions to be just so, just right before we make that move or we find that new job or we open ourselves to relationship, right? You know, we're waiting to be ready. And I'm not sure that that moment ever really comes when we are fully ready for something. I think we're always in a process of unfoldment. We're always spiraling through our issues and patterns, learning as we go. So I think about the cradleboard card. I think about the notion of the ability to respond in the present, which I talked about at the top of the hour. The importance of being here now, the title of Ram Dass's book. I quoted him extensively in the first segment of the show. Be here now. Do what you can where you are with what you have. Respond to your talents and abilities and see the joy that awakens in the process. So let's contemplate this message as we close tonight's program. I wanted to talk about some upcoming opportunities. Tomorrow night, May 9th at 7 p.m., I will be leading a shamanic journeying evening. I'll repeat that again on Thursday, May 26th. If people are in the area, Maynard, Massachusetts, you are more than welcome to join us. If it's new to you, I provide instruction on how to do it. May 15th. We're bringing back the Moon Lodge, so if you can join us for that, we start at 6 p.m. My next day for individual client appointments, for readings or energy treatments, is on May 28th. I thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is on June 12, 2016 at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, when our topic will be Whirling Rainbow, Honoring the Wholeness of Life. Tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at DreamVision7Radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.